I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the right to free speech in America stands as one of the nation's most cherished, essential, and uncontested freedoms. The debate over free speech has intensified in the U.S. as the Trump administration faces criticism for taking steps that advocates say chill fact-based, independent speech. The Federal Communications Commission is accused of using the agency's licensing authority to muzzle broadcasters. Governor Greg Abbott recently condemned and called for disciplinary consequences for students and educators who made mocking, celebratory, or insensitive remarks about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. President Trump is demanding networks face consequences for negative news stories about him. What is the status of free speech? And what happens when the government decides who gets silenced? Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Did you know that many employees qualify for a matching gift through their workplace? Getting started is quick, easy, and can significantly boost your support for Texas Public Radio. Visit tpr.org/workplacegiving to see if your employer participates and maximize your impact today. Visit tpr.org/workplacegiving to see if your employer participates and maximize your impact today.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you feel it? Do you feel like you have to lower your voice, maybe look over your shoulder, self-edit a bit, whenever you prepare to say something that the current administration might find offensive? Well, that's the feeling of free speech being curtailed. It's certainly not the feeling of freedom. Well, what exactly is free speech and who gets to have it? Why is it such a big deal now that many people don't want to speak out or they can't? You can call in as we talk about free speech. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Do you think that we're seeing free speech under attack in America? I'd like to hear why you feel that way. And with us to talk more about that is Zach Greenberg. He is Faculty Legal Defense and Student Association Counsel at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And Zach, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what's the temperature? Where are we on the DEFCON gauge as far as what's happening with free speech?
You're right. It's a pretty tough time for free speech right now. We're seeing in the response to Charlie Kirk's assassination, a lot of people getting fired from their jobs, especially professors at public universities for speaking out about Charlie Kirk and his legacy. And this is really a dark time for free speech because professors and other public employees have the right to discuss public affairs off hours. And for the universities to be cracking down on these professors merely because they dislike what they have to say, that's not free speech. That's not academic freedom. That's not how we do things in America.
It seems like depending on what side of the aisle you are on, you're going to have a different take on what is happening with free speech in America. For example, today, the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton put out a press release. He demands that universities protect free speech from people who say bad things about Charlie Kirk. He says any twisted, radical attempt to weaponize the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's assassination to silence the conservative movement will be exposed, stopped, and held accountable. So he's calling that protecting free speech. Does that make sense?
That's not quite right. We have free speech. We can talk about these public issues, these societal affairs, the things that are on the front pages of our nation's newspapers. And that may include speech that people believe is hateful or offensive or annoying, but we don't have speech to talk about the weather or to say 2 + 2 = 4. We have these crucial, fundamental First Amendment rights to talk about issues that people may not want to talk about. And so we urge the public universities that are bound by the First Amendment to protect free speech, even when it's difficult or unpopular to do so.
So the idea that it's bad taste to say something about the death of Charlie Kirk. It is just terrible. But is that something that can be government power can be used to do something about?
No, it cannot. The First Amendment limits the types of consequences and who can impose them. And it limits the government's power to punish its employees and the general citizens for what they say online about Charlie Kirk or other public figures. You can criticize Trump, you can criticize Biden or Harris. You have the right to discuss political views in America. That's what the First Amendment protects.
All right, let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Arturo. Arturo, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255.
Oh, I think your radio's on in the background.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, hi. You're on the air, Arturo.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hi. Hello.
Okay, you're...
Let me turn it off.
Yeah, do that.
Hi. I have been listening to you for I don't know how many years. Never had to call. I am scared. I have never felt like I could not speak fully and truly. I am of the liberal kind. I have a family, and I don't know what's happening to this country, to my country. I just don't know what to do.
Arturo, we're with you, man. We're with you. Thank you for calling in. We're going to get through this. We'll hang together and we'll get through this. Zach Greenberg, can you react to what we're hearing from Arturo?
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. It's totally understandable to feel afraid. One of the worst things about the censorship we're seeing nowadays is the chilling effect that when you see your friends and your family, your colleagues getting punished, whether it's fired from their jobs or ostracized from their social groups, for expressing themselves, it absolutely makes you want to not speak out. It deters people from expressing themselves, and punishing one person for their free speech can affect hundreds of millions. And so we're seeing similar sentiments happen across the nation, and it just shows the importance of protecting free speech even in these very troubled times.
So the Trump administration, are they able to use their, you know, power, you know, the Justice Department or whatever, to just get, you know, ordinary people? If you're not a professor, if you don't have a green card, you know, they want to kick people out with green cards or whatever. You know, what if you're just a guy who, you know, you speak out, and you can still feel the impact, the consequences of that from the administration?
Yeah, absolutely. The government has a very large role to play here. And right now we're seeing a lot of pressure on these institutions, whether colleges or corporations, to punish their employees for their speech. And there's not a lot of countervailing pressures here on the opposite. Obviously, fires here out there in the front lines fighting for free speech, telling the institutions to not punish their employees for their speech. But they're facing pressure from donors, from alumni, from sitting governors and legislatures, from perhaps the White House, telling people to crack down, to punish these people for what they say. And this pressure has a consequence. If you're going to make these demands and get people really whipped up about what people have to say and their political views, you're going to see people getting fired and losing their jobs, and that's not great for free speech.
But so even if the government has the ability, I mean, but arrest people, is that something that could happen?
Arrest people for what they say? Absolutely not. This is not a totalitarian dictatorship. It's not seen from America.
But when you have Pam Bondi, the attorney general, saying that she wants to prosecute people for hate speech, I mean, just the idea and putting it out there and having the AG say that in a very direct way in plain language, that impacts people. That's why people like Arturo, they feel it.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. The highest law enforcement official in our nation, misunderstanding the First Amendment, spreading information that's not correct out there, is incredibly disturbing. we expect her, of all people in the world, to know about free speech and what it means and what it protects and why it's important. And for her to go out there and say, we're going to prosecute you for what you say about hate speech, I think she did walk back the comments later on. But that's incredibly disturbing.
You can't unring that bell. We're going to take a break here. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. How do you feel about what's happening with free speech in America? How can people fight back? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the state of free speech in America today. Is it under attack by a Trump administration? Are they using their regulatory powers? There are all sorts of muscles that the federal government has. Again, is that going to be used to strangle free speech in America? How does it feel right now for you? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so there's a lot of whataboutism happening as the people are saying they're cutting off our free speech. There are many people in the conservative side who are saying, well, this is how it feels. Welcome to the club. This is what Biden did to us when he, you know, limited what could happen on social media and things like that. Does that carry weight?
What people are saying on social media is, yeah, it's protected by the First Amendment, protected by free speech. It's really a matter of people expressing their views about the world around them. And, you know, we urge both political parties, politicians of all stars and stripes, to make clear that you can speak, that you will not be punished for what you say. And, you know, with the political violence you've seen with Charlie Kirk, it's been a tough time out there for free speech. And we hope that the values of free speech become more apparent to Americans, and that will create a reduction in the kind of violence that we're seeing.
But we've seen, okay, this cancel culture that we've had in the U.S., where maybe someone goes to a public space, Starbucks or whatever, Burger King, and they act out and they may say something highly offensive and be a terrible individual. And then that goes viral all over the internet, and then there's consequences for that person. They may lose their job and be publicly shamed for that. And there's people who say, well, that person had their free speech. They should be able to say all those horrible racist things in the middle of Burger King if they want to. And then they face consequences for it. People say, well, free speech is free speech, but you should also have consequences for that. Now they're saying that's exactly what's happening with this Charlie Kirk situation. If people are putting out insensitive comments, mocking, celebrating his horrible death, then they're just getting their just desserts. It's just what's good for the goose type of a situation. I mean, how do you balance that?
Yeah, I think it goes into the question of what kind of society you want to live in. I mean, the First Amendment, it's a legal value, right? It's part of the Constitution. But free speech is a broader cultural value of how we want to create a more open and tolerant society. And part of the cultural values of free speech are about giving humility and grace to your opposing side, not demonizing those with different beliefs and allowing people with different viewpoints to coexist in your world and your society. And you're right, what we're seeing right now might not be a First Amendment violation when it comes to private entities, for example, or friend groups or individuals and corporations, but it's really about the world that we live in and about giving people the benefit of the doubt and the tolerance to live their lives. And so I think with these cancel culture campaigns, yeah, it could be a consequence of the free speech, but is that good for our society? Do we want people to be walking on eggshells and not expressing their authentic selves because they may lose their jobs or they may be ostracized from society? That seems to be a pretty terrible place to live.
All right, let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Jeannie. Jeannie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. Until this gentleman, Charlie Kirk, was shot, most of us never heard of him. And so we're sorry that he's gone, and things do happen, but I'm a little tired of not being able to say anything. A lot of people did know this man, and their opinions do matter, whether they liked him or not. And I'm also a little upset that I found out that Trump actually sent a government airplane to pick up his body and to transport it. And guess who got to pay for that plane ride? We did. And that cost millions of dollars to run that government plane. But his body was picked up and transported, and I just think that's wrong. Also, I'm a little afraid of, you know, this garbage of not being able to say what you want to say, although there is a limit to what you can say. And if somebody said something offensive to me as a 76-year-old woman, handicapped, I'd just punch him in the nose. You know, that would shut him up real quick. But, you know, instead, we have a man in office who can say anything he wants, do anything he wants, terrorize people. And I'm 76. I was a baby after the war. And so we were still very involved with Europe and Japan. And I just shocked that people don't see the similarities to Hitler, to what we've got in office right now. That is really scary. And that's what he's doing, whatever he wants to do. And that's exactly what Hitler did.
All right.
This man has no scruples.
Well, Jeannie, thank you for that. Don't punch people in the nose. We're not here to bring about, encourage violence. There's better ways of doing that. A point of correction, it was Vice President J.D. Vance who flew to Salt Lake City on Air Force Two and helped carry Charlie Kirk's casket onto that plane. It was not actually Trump. But can you sort of react to what else we heard from, you know, from our caller, Jeannie?
Yeah, sure. I think it goes into why we have free speech and who it protects. If you're wealthy and you're powerful, your right to speak is protected by, well, your wealth and your power. But we have free speech to defend the powerless, the minorities, the people in this world that would not be able to speak otherwise, that are saying things that may be controversial, that don't have the kind of wealth and power that perhaps President Trump or J.D. Vance and other politicians and public figures have. So I think when it comes to Charlie Kirk, yeah, he was very unpopular in many college campuses. He had a large following in some conservative circles, for example. But I think the reason why his death has become national news is the way he was killed. He was on a college campus discussing political issues with college kids, doing what he's been doing for the last decade, engaging those with opposing viewpoints. And you may not like what he has to say about it, but that's how politics should look like in America. We should be talking to people that have different views than we have, even if it is very difficult to do. But that is how we persuade our adversaries and really advance ourselves in this progressive society that we live in.
So I've been thinking about this point, that if we don't have free speech, then we're probably going to have more political violence.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that, Zach?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have to think about what did free speech replace? You had world wars. You had armies in the battlefield killing one another to figure out who rules and who's right. That's how we resolved our disputes for most of human history. And free speech is this really radical concept that we shouldn't be killing each other out there. That we should be debating ideas and having discussions and debates using our words. And if we continue to use violence to silence our enemies, if we continue to go down this path of assassinations, it's only going to breed more violence and less speech in our society.
Let's go to Earl on the phones. Earl, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
I've spent about the last 20 years trying to figure out what the definition of conservative is. And if we have free speech, how come only conservative speech needs to be protected? And I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
All right. Is it just conservative speech that needs to be protected? I guess if you are a conservative administration, that's what you're going to be interested in using your regulatory powers and your police powers to enforce. But Zach Greenberg?
Yeah, I think all speech is protected by the First Amendment when it comes to political views and political ideas. And it depends on who you are and how you're speaking and what you say. You may be in a very liberal area where conservative speech needs to be protected, but it's really a matter of ensuring that we all have an equal right to speak out on these issues. And we understand that people feel marginalized and feel censored based on their environments and their culture and their society that they live in, whatever the areas they want to be. But the First Amendment, it's a very beautiful concept, right? We all have the same rights under the law, under the Constitution, and defends all of us equally.
Well, what about that talk about hate speech, that, you know, that goes too far? I'm not really clear what hate speech is, but I think if you say you hate your enemies, that might qualify as hate speech. Is that fall under protected speech?
Yeah, you're exactly right about hateful speech in that we don't really have an agreed-upon definition of what speech is hateful. I mean, hateful speech to me could be your political slogan or your campaign or your newspaper. So this lack of definition has led courts in America to make very clear that hateful speech remains protected by the First Amendment for the simple reason that we can't trust the government to decide for us what we can say and what we can hear.
Let's go to Bob on the phones. Anna. All right, who are we going to? Bob, hello. You're on the air. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I turned in a little bit late, but I just wondered if anyone had brought this up. Kirk described the deaths of American children from school shootings as an acceptable cost of protecting gun rights, and he justified the killing of civilians in Gaza, including women and children, by blaming them collectively for Hamas. And I was totally disgusted when I heard that. Did I misinterpret this? I mean, anyone that can accept children, 360-some or more children being killed, and that's okay as long as it protects the gun rights.
Right. Well, Bob, the conversation is framed around free speech, and he had a right to say that. And you have a right to react to it and be disgusted by it and speak out in that as well and point out how you think that is not an appropriate worldview. But Zach Greenberg?
Yeah, I think it really goes to the free speech and violence, that the idea that how we resolve our disputes, you know, through debate, through discussion, through voting in our democracy, it necessarily should be something that would condemn violence, especially against political speech when it occurs.
Yeah, but right now, the issue is, though, okay, so this is something that Charlie Kirk said. He said it was on a record, it was recorded. But we're now in an environment where if you bring that up, you're being accused of mocking his death or being disrespectful or something like that. And then you should not be saying that, and you can be penalized for repeating his words and pointing out that he said that. And that is why people now are saying we're living in the upside down when it comes to free speech, Zach.
Yeah, and I think it really goes to show that we have the right to express our viewpoints, even when they may be offensive or annoying. I mean, you have the right to mock the dead. We saw this even just 5 years ago after the George Floyd murder, where you had people losing their jobs and being expelled from college campuses for mocking his death. I mean, I feel like every single time somebody gets a tragedy happens in our society, whether it's a political assassination or just somebody dying, then you're going to have an outpouring of either support or condemnation for this figure, and you're going to have people trying to get them canceled for what they have to say. And the cycle needs to stop somewhere. And a good place for it to stop is right here, right now, with the recognition that different folks, different strokes, right? We have the right to criticize public figures and politicians, even if it may be offensive to others.
Well, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. Yes. You know, we can follow the example of Arnold and Willis and get along. But, you know, the idea, though, is that Jimmy Kimmel, his show was suspended, not for saying something offensive. You know, but he just said something that people who were highly sensitive to the situation objected to, and they have a lot of muscle.
Yeah, and this is exactly why you don't want to have those kind of people, especially the government, determining what we can say and what we can hear. I mean, they can be very sensitive. They can be thin-skinned. They have their own biases and political viewpoints. And so if they're out there trying to cancel news stations and get comedians off the air, that's a pretty dark time for free speech in our society. You know, if you're going to be in the government, you're going to have you're going to wield the great power of our federal government. You should do so in a way that does not destroy people's right to speak. And you can be for and against Jimmy Kimmel or Trump or anyone else out there. We should have the right to speak regardless.
And you have the right to speak, but do they have a right to punish you for saying what you say? That's really where we are right now. And, you know, could you lose your job? Can you be expelled from campus? Can you lose be thrown out of the country, deported? There's a lot of issues that are happening here. The government has a lot of power that they can use to eliminate people and force them into silence. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. A lot of callers, and we'll get you on the air next, and others will get you on the air as well. The number is 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the state of free speech in America, and there's a lot of talk about it being curtailed. At least right now, we can talk about it being curtailed and exercise the free speech that we have, but many people are feeling the consequences for speaking out. We're speaking with Zach Greenberg. He is a Faculty Legal Defense and Student Association Counsel at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Let's go to Anna on the phones. And Anna, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling because somebody brought up that I think people were complaining that when Biden or the other administration was in office, they say they curtail their speech or whatever. But the difference is that Trump, Bondi, and the FCC chair have threatened action for those exercising free speech. Bondi says she'd prosecute anyone who says what she considers hate speech. The FCC chair threatened the media with taking their license if they allow their people to speak about Charlie Kirk and Trump. There was a Fox anchor recently, Kilmeade, I think his name is. He made a statement about killing homeless people. And what's going on with that? Why hasn't anything been done against him? He should be fired. And so why is it so skewed? And what we can do is protest. There's a protest on October 18th, No King's Day, in New Braunfels in San Antonio. I urge people to protest this. Thank you.
All right, Anna, thank you for that. What about the courts, Zach? I mean, is the courts a remedy? Can you push back saying they have violated my rights to free speech? But the process can be, you know, arthritic and slow.
Absolutely. Yeah, the courts are in many ways our last resort to defend our free speech rights. We rely on the power of judges and the judiciary to ensure that the government does not infringe upon our free speech rights and is held accountable when they do so. And this has been an increasing avenue that professors and other public employees, in addition to students, are turning to when the universities themselves are not upholding their rights.
So how do you use the courts, say, like Jimmy Kimmel, for example, suspended, not, and he's in negotiations with Disney trying to get his show back on the air. But there's this whole, you know, machine that went through, like, you know, Brendan Carr, the chair of the FCC, he threatens, we can do this the easy way, we can do this hard way. He wants to get these stations are telling him to, you know, take him off the air or else they're going to lose their broadcast licenses, or he won't approve a merger. Following the FCC chair's threat, ABC Disney suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely. And so how does anyone find a legal remedy for that?
Yeah, let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, this is a classic example of jawboning, which is when the government puts pressure on private companies to censor people and to violate their rights. Excuse me. And it's a very increasingly prevalent tactic because it allows the government to accomplish through private companies what the government can't accomplish itself because of the First Amendment. So while Jimmy Kimmel can't sue his network, a private company, for violating his free speech rights, there may be a cause of action against the government for putting this kind of undue pressure on the company to accomplish a censorial purpose. although for other individuals out there that the, where they have more of a direct violation of their rights, such as a student or a public university professor suing their school, it'd be a simple retaliation complaint alleging that the university punished the student or the professor for expressing themselves, exercising their rights in the First Amendment, and seeking damages or some other relief, such as reinstatement, against the university. And the courts have heard those complaints. They've allowed the party to seek those damages and to find relief through the courts. And it's been an avenue of last resort for many people that have been censored.
Is that going to be fast enough? I mean, it seems like this is happening right now in real time. I mean, you know, and the administration doesn't seem to be, you know, unshirked.
That's a great point. Yeah, litigation can be a very slow process. There are avenues where plaintiffs can seek injunctive relief or a temporary restraining order, where it's a bit of a quicker process. But you're right, litigation is time-consuming. It's expensive. You may not get relief for years from now. And, you know, the courts, they operate slowly for a reason, right? It's a very deliberate process. And so, yeah, you might have a violation now that might not get remedied for a while.
Let's go to Ann on the phones. Ann, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Sure. And you actually addressed, and my statement, I guess, was about Jimmy Kimmel, because what he said was not hate speech, and it didn't really go anything against Charlie Kirk. It was that President Trump keeps trying to blame everybody instead of saying that the poor shooter was just a very confused child. He's a 21-year-old male, and males don't even mature till they're 25. What he said was not hate speech. It was not against Kirk. And I think that they have rallied a lot of people on for the other side.
Well, Ann, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. So, Zach Greenberg, what if it's not about Kirk? What if it's not about Jimmy Kimmel? What if it's about what if it's about what we heard with Arturo, putting fear into Americans, trying to create this atmosphere where people are afraid to speak out and afraid to go to the next No Kings rally and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the purposes of the kind of censorship we're seeing right now, deterring people from speaking out, creating the chilling effect, showing that there are consequences for expressing yourself. And it's more of a cultural value in a way, because even though the censors, the people are trying to get people punished for their speech, may lose in court, they're still the court of public opinion, which in many ways is more powerful. The hearts and minds of individuals is where free speech lies. And if people are not confident enough to speak out and to exercise their rights and fight for what's right, that's really the end of our democracy and our free speech in America. So it's really a matter of ensuring that the individual Americans out there still believe in free speech and know why it's important.
Let's go to Jose. Jose, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to address, I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
The problem we're experiencing now is something that the American public has been dealing with, presidency through presidency. For example, if you look at the way speech was treated during Russiagate times during the 2016 election cycle, a lot of reporters who were putting out decent information were getting blocked. All right. And then look at the Biden administration with the Twitter files, with the online censorship. We saw that manipulation. We saw the student protests getting suppressed by the Biden administration. All right. And now we have another problem, and that is foreign influence in our speech. Israel going in and literally controlling what we say regarding the genocide in Gaza. So this is something that's in our hands now, and we have to decide as Democrats, Republicans, what needs to be done. And we really have to be serious about this issue. We have to get rid of the foreign influence, and we have to deal with the most important thing, the First Amendment. That is, the First Amendment is there. It's the primary amendment, and we need to defend it.
All right, Jose, There was a lot there, Twitter files and Russia Gate and things like that aside, but defending the First Amendment, people are calling for process. We've heard it here right now. How do we do that, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more about the primacy of the First Amendment in our society. It's really where all of our other rights flow from. And the best way to defend your rights is to know your rights, to understand what the First Amendment protects and why it's important. That includes the right to speak on social media about Charlie Kirk, the right to organize and get out there and protest, pin the streets with your beliefs and your ideas. It also includes the right to not speak, to be anonymous, and to not be compelled to utter things that are against your beliefs. And so it's, in one way, it's great to see a more enhanced national attention on free speech in the wake of Charlie Kirk, which is a sharp contrast to what many of our elected leaders are saying and doing out there, showing a real disdain for free speech and the First Amendment.
So I don't like all this whataboutism. They did it too. We did it. They did it to us. We did. But this whole idea about free speech now or hate speech being inflammatory or dangerous and shouldn't be tolerated, probably the biggest speech that inflamed people was the speech that Donald Trump gave just before the insurrection when he was at the Ellipse and he was saying, we got to go up there and we got to fight like hell and we got to go up there and you know, hang, you know, the whole hang Mike Pence thing. But then they disassociated that from, like, he was just talking. He was just saying things. That was political free speech. And that is the highest protected speech that there is. But still, that is also something that actually we saw inflamed people and caused action. Yet there's no issue about how this is something that is serious and needs to be, you know, held accountable. So we'll get into that a little bit later. We have a lot more calls to get to, and I got to hit this break right now. Let me read. Zach Greenberg is with us. He is a faculty legal defense and student association counsel at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. So much is happening on our campuses. We have college professors who are being fired. We had the head of Texas A&M resign recently over issues of free speech and what can be taught in the classroom, particularly when it comes to how many genders there are. This is happening all across America in almost every corner. How do we make sure that we are able to protect these essential freedoms? We'll get to these callers. We got Rick, Kelly, Randall. We'll get you on the air when we come back from this break. This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. So Zach Greenberg, I was just saying before we went to break about the January 6th speech that President Trump gave. He was claiming falsely about a stolen election, and he was encouraging people to go down to the Capitol and march and fight like hell and do what's right and force the lawmakers to, you know, do something about these counting of the electoral votes. So that was protected speech. That was hateful speech, but it was also and encouraging people to violence. But now anyone who says anything about Charlie Kirk is not protected speech in this new warped world. Is that right?
It's a difficult standard. It comes from the First Amendment's incitement to imminent lawless action exception, which is a very high bar, and it requires a lot to determine whether the speech is protected by the First Amendment and whether it is, in fact, a true threat or other forms of unprotected speech. And so when we see people talking about Charlie Kirk, it's generally considered a political speech, talking about public issues. And the whole idea behind free speech and even the imminent lawless action standard is that people should be held accountable for their own actions. You know, if you're going to incite people to lawless action, if you're going to go out there and, you know, try to cause a riot, that could be protected. It could not be protected. It depends on, you know, the nature of the speech and the context here. But when it comes to, you know, posting online and talking about these public issues, that's free speech. That's protected. We want to preserve the right to talk about these issues, especially in our democratic society.
Let's go to Randall on the phones. And Randall, It's hang on, Randall. We're getting you lit up here in a second. Okay. And Randall, you're on the air. Sorry about the delay.
Getting me lit up. I'm always lit up, man.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, I'm sorry to do this, but you know, I remember calling you one day last year, calling into the show one day last year, early last year, and saying that the MAGA movement was morphing, it was changing, it was becoming less of a true political movement and more of something that resembles a religious cult. At the time, you dismissed the idea. Today, after the events of the past 11, 12 days, are you still not seeing this? This is a cult. It is very much a cult. The way there's this bizarre religious level of worship, especially yesterday, for a man who, I'm not afraid to say it, he was a hate monger. He was a white supremacist. He was a racist. He was a misogynist. He didn't think women were worthy of careers. He especially didn't think women of color were worthy of careers, much less life. And he wasn't afraid to say it. He thought that gun deaths were appropriate, a good deal, because it helped with the Second Amendment.
But he had every right. He had every right to say those things.
He had every right to say those things, but you can't sit at the big table in your favorite sports bar and pound down drink after drink after drink after drink on someone else's dime. And then when the big bartender comes around and lays the tab down in front of you and says, everybody else has put their life on the line, now it's your turn. And you're going to throw a hissy fit over that?
I mean, the assassination of Charlie Kirk was a terrible thing. It should not have happened.
That was a shooting.
And it was a political murder that makes it an assassination, and it hurts America. This is a bad thing for America.
I won't argue with that, but you can't. But the hypocrisy of that.
We're loaded with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not a capital offense.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But what I'm saying is the hypocrisy is when everybody is suddenly just losing their stuff over this guy getting shot.
These are two separate things. Him being shot is one thing and a terrible thing. And then the other thing is how there are individuals, on whatever political view you might have, who are trying to use it to, you know, inflate their own point of view. So that's really the issue.
That's the thing. Yes, that is the issue. Because, again, we're 2 hours away from Uvalde, where 19 kids were buried in handmade coffins that were made up to be like Barbie and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Marvel superheroes.
And that was another terrible day.
Was all the hullabaloo when that happened?
There was plenty of hullabaloo. There was plenty of people who were grieving of all political sides because it was a terrible, terrible, terrible day for anyone who knows anything about that. Oh, so anyway, Randall, thank you for calling in. Let me get a reaction from our expert. He was supposed to be doing most of the talking today and not me, Zach Greenberg. What are your thoughts about, you know, what we're hearing right here?
No, it's an honor to be in the show and have these conversations. I think one of the best things about free speech is it allows us to know what people believe, the good and the bad. If you have people out there in your community celebrating Charlie Kirk or celebrating his murder, saying he deserved to die, that's information I want to know. I want to know who the people that are in my society, in my community, maybe people that are in my life, who believe these views, not only perhaps so I can persuade them, perhaps so I can avoid them. It's really a matter of personal security and a matter of understanding what people really believe. And if we have free speech, I have to have enough tolerance to have these discussions to know what people really believe. But at the same time, it's a matter of our own personal safety. Understand that people that want to do violence to us because of what we believe, that think violence is justified because of our views or our religion or our background, it's good to know who these people are. And for that, we need a pretty robust protection for even very hateful and provocative speech in our society.
Let's go to Rick on the phones. Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you. This is the United States of America. United we stand and divided we will fall. If any administration will not tolerate opposing political views, we will not survive as a free and independent country. Don't forget January 6th. The president pardoned all the violent protesters of January 6th. God bless this country. We need his help.
All right, Rick, thank you for that. So if we have loss of free speech in America, what does that mean for our democracy, Zach Greenberg? Why is it the essential right?
It's the essential right because it's the primary way that we determine who is right and who should rule. It's the only way we have, besides for violence historically, to figure out these most important issues in our society. We have to use our words, we have to use our ideas and our viewpoints to persuade our fellow Americans that we're right and that we should rule. And that's a very difficult process. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have people yelling at each other. You're going to have a really intense heated debate, but that's still better than the alternative, which is violence and bloodshed.
And now let's go to Kelly. Kelly, thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. And Kelly?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, just turn off the radio in the background.
Oh, yeah, let me turn it off real quick.
Okay.
All right. I can hear you now.
All right, you're on the air.
Okay, as I was saying earlier, I don't think what happened to Charlie Kirk was good. It was bad. It shouldn't have happened. But another thing is that it's the way he says things to people. It's not so much like what he says, because me and you can have a debate about something and agree to disagree. But I feel like he mocked a lot of these young students because, you know, he's more advanced than they are. You know, the kids are not ready. This is not what they do every day on a daily basis versus what he does on a daily basis is go to campuses and talk to kids. And I think if maybe he would have toned it down a little bit and talked in a different way, not so much just the way he is, but just in a different way, then maybe it wouldn't have happened to him what happened to him.
Okay. Well, Kelly, thank you for calling in on that. So, Zach, some people are really good at free speech. They're highly skilled, and Charlie Kirk was one of them. He was a gifted orator. And knew how to make an argument and make a point. He will be missed by the conservative and his family and the people who loved him. And it was a terrible thing that happened to him. But it should not be a deciding factor in whether or not we have a free speech in America. And he claimed to be a free speech advocate.
Yeah, you're certainly right. He made a career of going to college campuses and debating, talking with other students, mostly young liberal students, about their beliefs. And this is exactly how free speech should look. And not to disagree about college students, I think they are absolutely capable of understanding opposing viewpoints and changing their minds and having a robust debate with somebody like Charlie Kirk, who perhaps is very disagreeable in his positions, but would always be willing to talk to students and debate them and have a discussion about it. And so I think if we're going to have these kind of discussions on the college campus, there has to be some tolerance for mocking speech for this kind of intense debate. This is really why students go to college, to have their deepest beliefs challenged. And perhaps it's by Charlie Kirk, perhaps it's by their professors, but this is what a liberal arts education is all about.
Do you think this free speech issue will be involved in the upcoming midterm elections? Will this be something that people will cast their votes thinking about?
Absolutely. I think Charlie Kirk's assassination is already creating changes in our society. It's already having a ripple effect on politics and how we discuss these issues. And I think it shows the importance of free speech and whether people actually believe in it. And I think people are going to take that in mind when they go in that voting booth and cast their vote, not only for the federal elections, but even for state and local elections as well.
Zach Greenberg, he is a Faculty Legal Defense and Student Association Counsel at FIRE, which is the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Zach, thanks for coming on the air with us this hour and talking to us about free speech. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.